When MLB talent takes the field, reactions get loud.
Aaron Judge with a blast.
Oh my God!
Whole scheme.
Struck him out with 102.
Laser beam. Walk off, baby! This is the best.
Witness baseball greatness for yourself at the ballpark. Baseball is something else.
Yes!
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday.
What's up? What's up?
It's not a pretty day out. A little rain going on. It's muggy, but we're making it through. It's a Friday.
Yeah, the mugginess I could definitely do without, but like, oh no. Like, we've had good weather this week.
The rain. My lawn has desperately needed rain.
Yeah.
I got really excited.
Every blade of grass is like celebrating right now.
Now, I do have to look at the weather over the weekend to be like, ooh, is this prime mowing time or is it going to be 95? And like, if I walk out there, I'll burst into flames.
Hey, you know what? Let's find out together.
Right. So part now. Of me want to like keep it like in like a secret till I wake up and walk outside and go,
yeah,
no.
We're going to find this out together.
Okay. All right.
It looks pretty dastardly.
If you ask dastardly?
Dastardly.
Yep.
Love that. So, tomorrow.
That's not great.
Tomorrow, just mostly cloudy.
Okay.
I have like 84-ish.
I'm very busy tomorrow. It's Sunday.
Sunday's the day. Isolated thunderstorms. So they'll be in the pocket.
So I got my rain just in a bit of a cluster here.
The mowing is not an option this weekend, it sounds like.
It seems like, and then Sunday, high of 88. Tuesday, high of 86. Wednesday, it rains again in the morning. But then, like, Wednesday through Saturday, you're looking at, like, maybe 81 is the high.
Okay. That's workable then.
Yeah,
it's workable.
You can work when the Wednesday next week is probably your beginning pocket for mowing the lawn again without, like, combusting.
Okay. That's not really great, but we can work around it. We can figure that out. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you, of course, by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And, of course, training camp coverage, as it is day three, from St. John Fisher, is brought to you by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors & Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. The Bills are on the practice field. They've gotten day three underway. Still no pads. We'll inform you when that does happen, but there are some injury notes, as of course yesterday, AJ Epenesa and Dorian Williams both left practice early. Today, neither are practicing. Epenesa with an ankle injury, Williams with a calf injury. The injuries somewhat are building up, but no one seems that concerned. So it has kind of left me not being as concerned. But it's still not a great way to start camp, especially before the pads even come on. And that's where the hitting actually starts.
Right.
For some of these guys to already be down. But it, you know, fingers crossed, knocking on wood. So far, nothing too bad up to this point. Nothing too bad. I mean, even the stuff with, you know, Justin Fields.
Right. The toe injury. And as Jeremy said it perfectly yesterday, it's cart season.
Oh, yeah. Mike Shope and the Bulldog were talking about this yesterday, too. The reporters also get to a point where they word it better.
Right.
He wasn't carted off the field. He was carted into the locker room. Or he was carted into the locker room.
Or into the dorms or wherever people are.
Because when we hear carted off the field, you think they're laying on the field. They can't get up. There might be an air cast somewhere. And then they're taken off and everyone, you know, is on a knee. Like, we all have that picture. We all know it. We've all, in some ways, sort of experienced it as sports fans. That's not true anymore, though, for the most part.
Right.
Those injuries, of course, still happen. But being carted off the field does not mean 100% what it used to mean. But you still see those tweets.
Yes.
You see those reports, and your heart still drops. Because nothing has changed in the actual reporting of it, but how it actually is done has very much changed.
If that man needs to be put on a cart, it's going to be reported as such.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also exactly what we said yesterday. Why would we have you walking on it if we're going to look at it?
Yeah. We're
why make it worse if you are currently in pain from a 300-pound man stepping on and dislocating your toe? That doesn't feel good.
Well, specifically his non-big toe.
That's worse.
So, well, here's the thing. I saw a bunch of people asking, like, what digit it could be. Well, we know it's not the big toe, and the pinky toe has its own name. It's just one of the core three in the middle.
It's one of the middle three, and...
Which, to be fair, it might be all three of them. They're pretty, you know, they're kind of tight together.
But it's also worse. Your pinky toe's so small that it's an annoyance.
Yeah, but that helps balance, doesn't it?
Yes.
You don't want that totally dislocated. It's going to screw up your balance.
Correct.
Isaiah likely wishes his were after how week one went last year.
That's right.
There it is.
That's right. That's right. That's tough.
There it is. But
that's tough.
But the middle three, yeah, I feel like those ones, it would be worse. Like, if you had to choose to stub a toe right now, not dislocate one, obviously, but if you had to choose to stub a toe right now, which one are you going with?
I mean, probably the big toe, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. You're not picking the middle three. I'll tell you that.
You're not picking the middle three. I think it's just harder. Like, you'd have to do, like, you'd have to have somebody step on your foot to have it happen. You're not doing that naturally.
I mean, you could get the only way to stub those, I feel like, is like your foot's at a weird angle and you hit something dead on.
Yeah.
And like you don't miss it barely where like you hit the pinky toe.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am talking about the sciences of stubbing your toe at 10 in the morning.
By the way, a little bit of Jersey news coming out in the last 10 minutes.
Good. I want to get over this.
Every team that's part of the rivalries is announcing that their rival jersey will be shown, will be unveiled on August 28th. Miami's a part of this now. Seattle's a part of this in San Francisco. New England was the first team I saw. The Jets are a part of this as well. And Arizona. I have yet to see the Bills post anything. I just looked just to make sure to see like, hey, are we getting the rivals jerseys? You know, the reveal on the 28th. I think every team has done it. New England, Arizona, the Jets, Miami, 49ers, Seattle, and the Rams. Who does that leave? The Bills.
The Bills.
Is there another team I'm forgetting out west? I don't think so.
No.
So it's really just the Bills. We're just waiting for them to announce. And a bunch of these teams have announced it, you know, in the last 10 minutes. So, yeah. It looks like the rivalry jersey is going to be released on August 28th. That should be interesting because normally the rules, Derek, for jerseys and helmets.
Yep.
For helmets specifically, you can only have the three.
Correct.
And the Bills already now will have those. They'll have their normal white ones they've had for the number of years.
Yes.
We've got the standing Buffalo, which is going to be worn twice. And then the red helmet on the 18th or for week 18.
Which I don't understand how that counts. It's the same helmet. It's just with a different decal.
Yeah, but I think instead of like peeling it off, they literally just new helmets, the decals on there, and it just kind of stays. So that's why.
Probably.
It's technically an alternate look, even though it is like the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know if the jerseys count towards that. I mean, I don't really know how many teams actually have more than three jersey combinations realistically, but I know the helmet one was three, but with the rivalry jerseys, it's not going to be the 90s look because they already have the 90s helmet. And the rivalries, I would imagine, want to do their own thing now that the Bills are kind of bringing in the 90s helmet for their own game, their own thing. So that's good. That's going to be a fourth look. It's going to be a lot of different jersey combinations this year for the Bills.
It's exciting, though.
It is exciting.
As a jersey aficionado.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially for the Bills, who kind of haven't done a lot in this whole, like, sort of jersey renaissance for a lot of teams. A lot of teams have gone to the whiteout looks. We know Cleveland has, Minnesota has. The Saints are doing it this year. The Browns, for whatever it's worth, have like their whole brown look going on.
Look at the Packers.
Packers and Steelers both go their old retro 1930s, 40s kind of look.
Right.
The Bills have – and look, as someone that is not the biggest junkie for this, I have very much liked that they have stayed the course and just gone, you know, white helmet. The biggest change they had there from a few years ago was they got rid of the gray face mask and they got the white ones that make it really pop. But – I mean, they're going to have a lot of different looks this year. They're going to have a lot of different looks. I mean, I'll also say this too. I was not the biggest fan of the 90s red helmet. I mean, because then I grew up with like the 90s or the red helmet with the navy blue jerseys. And Joe, I know you're a big fan of them. But for me, I can't stand them.
Well, here's your good news. Not getting them.
But I love the standing buffalo. I like that look. It's different from what everything else is. It genuinely feels like a throwback and it doesn't look bad. Because I think a lot of throwbacks can look bad. Some of them are great, but a lot of them do look bad. So I'm glad to see that's back for 2 weeks. One on the road against Atlanta with their throwback jerseys, the red helmets and the black jerseys, that should be awesome.
Yep.
And then once at home against Tampa, would love if Tampa wore the throwbacks. I don't think that's happening.
Oh, yeah, if they hit the creamsicles.
I don't believe that's happening, but that would be really cool. So, yeah, it's looking like it's going to be August 28th. I have not seen the Bills actually announce it themselves, but almost every other Rivals team this year has done so, that the reveal will be on August 28th. Which, like, I'm glad we finally got a reveal. This was announced during the draft.
Right.
So this also kind of tells me...
This was something that's been driving our producer, Joseph Calley, absolutely insane.
I just want to know.
Yeah.
Like, is it so difficult to... You made an announcement for the announcement, but the announcement has yet to be announced.
You know what it feels like? It feels like that... Like, movies will do this too. Like, they'll have, like, their release date, but they haven't even started shooting the movie yet. And you're like, that's a bit premature. Like, that's kind of what this feels like. It's like they announced this was going to happen this year at the draft, and a bunch of the designers were like, we have the concept of a plan. We don't even have a plan yet. Are we sure about this and moving forward? Yeah. And so, I'm glad it's happening, but we're also, like, more than a month away. Yeah. So it's not super close. And also, Bills have not announced that they're releasing it yet on the 28th, so we will see on that. Some other news, if you missed it last night, Christian Wilkins, no longer a Las Vegas Raider. This is a story that could get real interesting, mainly just due to the fact of everything else going on with the NFL Players Association.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
If you missed it, defensive tackle for the Raiders, Christian Wilkins, released yesterday, and it was designated as a terminated vested veteran. This kind of all comes from the fact that he's been recovering from a Jones fracture, which I believe is a fracture in his left foot. And there was arguments between the player and the team of how to actually go about the recovery. Williams didn't want to have another surgery. He was going to different avenues to avoid that. The Raiders wanted to have him get surgery. And now, because he won't get it, the Raiders are voiding the remaining $35.2 million of guaranteed money left on his contract. That was all the way back in June 4th. He had about 50 days to register a grievance with the NFLPA had to file a grievance. He had 50 days to ask them to do
they
that.
Had they had other things going on.
Yes, they did eventually do it. It is interesting, though. He is, I think, a very underrated player. He had a ton of money from the Raiders. He has gotten a lot of money from the Raiders, but it really was the last 2 years he was going to get another good chunk of it. But already today, Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel, when asked about it, did say they were going to have a conversation about the Massachusetts local in Wilkins. And he was a bit of a – he was kind of the only guy on the Dolphins defense the last 5 years or so when he was with them that caused any sort of problem. Whether it was to some dirty tricks or not, he was kind of the only guy in that Dolphins defense that had any sort of bite to him.
And any sort of impact. Really?
And he did seem to drive Josh Allen crazy.
And it's just now, a couple years ago yeah. that like the NFL players voted him as a top 100 type player.
Yeah. And now, you know, and again, he still has to get healthy. That's a big part of this too. He is not healthy yet. But potentially.
Hate that for a Bills fan.
You know, 2 years after he leaves Miami, he's going to be back in the division with the ascending team potentially. And, you know, we talk a little bit about the AFC East, but it has become somewhat difficult because none of the teams really are on the same path. It's kind of felt like Miami had their moment in the sun, but we kind of saw how much of a paper tiger they could be. As I mentioned there, Wilkins was kind of the only guy that had bite on that roster. I mean, his last year in Miami, by the way, he had 9 sacks at defensive tackle position. But he was kind of the only guy that really had that edge, and they lost him. I mean, this is a team that really, you know, in kind of the worst way, seemed to play soft as the year went on. The elements weren't really in their favor. It didn't go well.
Mm-hmm.
But if he could get healthy and go to a team like New England, it's not that it makes New England immediately more of a threat. It is just an interesting pickup of like, ooh.
They do become slightly more
annoying. That defense is good because you got Gonzalez at corner. I like Christian Barmore. We'll see about him also getting healthy. But they've got some pieces there on the defense where you're sitting there going, okay. Like, they might be a little bit far away on the offense. We'll see about their wide receiver unit. Kyle Williams, I know a lot of people are excited about. I even saw at Patriots camp that the first day or so, he looked very nice, and that's kind of a guy to keep an eye on because I know Bills fans were a big fan of his out of Washington State. But they seem to be a bit far away on the offense. But they get the defense underway with Vrabel. Vrabel was going to get in the one seed with Ryan Tannehill and his GM absolutely sabotaging the team, trading away A.J. Brown and stuff like that. I mean, he was still winning games. It didn't go perfect to the end. But if you get a defense around Vrabel, that feels like one of the better ways for him to win early.
To win early, I agree. I would agree with that. I do think that he does have his flaws as a coach. Otherwise, he would still have been the coach.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, when it comes down to it with Wilkins, the Patriots become a little bit more annoying. If that's the case, they become a little bit more of a thorn in the side, probably a little harder to put away for the Bills this year.
Mm-hmm.
If he's healthy and he joins the Patriots, of course. Like, both of these things have to happen. Am I overly concerned if that's to be the case? No. Do the Bills have a chance to do the funniest thing ever? Yes, but you don't have the room for him. Quite frankly, you don't have the room for him. If they were still looking for another D-tackle addition, absolutely.
I think they're supposed to be banging the drum, yeah.
You'd have the chance to do the funniest thing ever. God, the training camp fights would be unreal.
My thing would be, I'd be pushing, like, I need to now see a Josh Allen, Christian Wilkins join press conference.
I
need to see that.
You're
right. They don't really have a need at defensive tackle with all the additions they made. They kind of just flat out, as you said, like, don't really have a spot.
Yeah. If Ogunjobi wasn't on this roster, then I'd say sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he is. Like, yeah, he's serving a suspension. Blah, 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 blah. Who cares?
But he's coming back after week six.
He comes back. And they expect him to be back and ready. So you don't have the room. And that's okay. It means you're in a good place. Honestly, if I say so myself, I need the pads. I need the pads so bad.
That's where their big additions were on the defensive line, and that's where you want to see how they're looking. And then we've also heard from both Joe Brady and now Bobby Babich today as well, earlier in the morning, a lot of what they're going to look at is, once the pads go on. You know, Brady really wanted to hammer home that, you know, you're not going to see the best of Keon Coleman against air. You know, once the hand fighting begins, once, you know, guys are able to get physical with the pads on, you'll see the development of Keon Coleman. He, by the way.
The timing on that is kind of hilarious because he talked yesterday and Coleman had a great
bounce he ended up having a very good day from all reports. But
Keon Coleman's like, oh yeah, watch this.
But even still, it's just, you know, he's talked about him. He even said it maybe more highly than other people are thinking just based off the questions he's getting. But then you go over to Bobby Babich, who spoke today, and I don't necessarily know if he brought up, you know, pads and stuff like that, and then they'll see guys. But, you know, some of the younger guys like TJ Sanders and his physical abilities, you really won't get the most of that until pads are on. Deion Walker and his size and potentially him slimming down to maybe play at a better weight, you really won't get the full effects of that until pads are on. So it's a little annoying, but it is what it is. You know, I'd rather everyone stay healthy and then we get there, but we're also kind of having issues there.
Yeah, There's already some.
I mean, that's honestly one of my fears now. Is just like, all right, we're picking little injuries. No one seems that worried, but man, pads are not even on, and we're already having some issues here.
Honestly, it kind of makes sense though. It's movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, players are just getting back to the full swing of things. Like, you can do all the training you want on your own. You're not doing it with live action or live speed,
right,
with the intensity of your peers the way that you would in training camp,
mm-hmm,
even without the pads on.
Yeah.
Like, the movements are going to be faster.
Oh, absolutely.
From everybody. Because they're all pros. Not all pros, but they're all professionals.
There you go.
There is one all-pro on the team. It's still going to be a different intensity that you have to match. Every snap, every rep, pads on, no pads on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's going to be some people that just like, muscle just like, I don't like what you just did. We're going to take a couple days. It's a human body. It's normal. It's inconvenient in a sense. Like, mm-hmm, you know, if you're cheering for the team and you see the team already racking up a couple injuries before pads even go on.
Yeah.
But it could be worse.
I mean, it could
be.
The
Jets avoided a major issue, but, like, we got no cart story yet.
True. Very true.
Due diligence, guys and gals. Don't worry. So, yeah, like, we haven't had anything like that yet. And I said it again, just that I had to knock on more wood. Good for me. But I'm not too concerned yet.
No, I mean, it's day three. It's just, for me, it's more, the vibes felt good going into camp because everything had gotten handled, right?
You know, right.
Cook had reported, you got that, and even if he held in, it was like, hey, but he's still here. Like, it's not the drama that you're seeing in Cincinnati or Washington. The second round pick kind of conundrum sort of solved itself. Guys were getting much more money. There was some fully guaranteed contracts, stuff like that. Sanders is in the building. You know, even the Landon Jackson stuff. He initially was going to start camp on PUP, but he's cleared, or even at MafiaCon, he's interviewed and mentions like, yeah, I'm going to be ready to go. So even, mm-hmm, before the official announcement came on, you know, from the guy himself, he's saying he's good. Everything seemed to be pushing in the right direction, including guys like even Joey Bosa as well. And then it's the first 3 days, you're like, oh, all right. Not 100% perfect. It's not going to be. But you always want to start at 100% and then go from there. And that's kind of my thing. Again, though, I do want to mention, too, with the Patriots and Wilkins, it's just I do look at them a lot because I see the Dolphins as sort of a team that's not, you know, on a free fall, but it feels like this year is going to be kind of a descent into – this was their window. It wasn't even a particularly great window. They're going to be starting over here pretty soon with Greer and likely McDaniel fired. The Jets are completely starting over. I like Aaron Glenn, but that could go up in smoke as well. He's got to figure out the quarterback there. Next year, there's a lot going on. With the Patriots, I think they've already got their quarterback in Drake May. Now for them, it's, okay, you got more of an adult in the room in Vrabel. I think he has limitations as a head coach, but he, again, did do pretty well with Tennessee at times with sort of limited quarterback talent. I think Drake May will end up being better in his prime than anything that Ryan Tannehill was, even in his, you know, brief window there with Arthur Smith and how good he was. And adding a guy like a Christian Wilkins, going up, you know, next to Christian Barmore, Joshua Farmer. They've got some good guys. They paid a lot of money to Milton Williams as well.
That's right.
Kind of a Super Bowl hero for Philadelphia. They've added to that defensive line. If they could add a guy like Wilkins even before he's healthy, I think there is something to that. That is fully following the Philly plan, including adding one of their players. Then you have Christian Gonzalez, who was absolutely voted as one of the top 10 corners in the league. He was a second-team All-Pro last year. He's very, very good. He was great in his rookie year, by the way. He just got hurt, and then second year, he was awesome. I don't know. I start to look at the Patriots, and I go, it's a single move. It won't take them over the hump, but it absolutely makes them more interesting. And there was a call yesterday with Shope on the Bulldog where it's not necessarily you're worried that they would take the division.
Correct.
That a Patriots team or a Dolphins team or a Jets team would take the division. But that they might be good enough to screw up your plans for the one seed. That instead of going 5-1 or even 6-0 if you really needed it and you play the Stars against the Jets in week 18, but that you go 4-2 or that you even go 3-3 because some of the teams are just good enough in the road games, and it can be a little bit, obviously, more of a struggle on the road.
You know what would be even the most interesting piece of all of this?
Hmm.
Say the Patriots sign Christian Wilkins.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know their first two opponents?
The Patriots?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It is the Raiders and the Dolphins. Quite okay, literally well, in order.
Okay, well, now for the story. I actually kind of want that.
Yeah, right?
803-0550, the number to call. Patriots, Dolphins, Jets, do any of the teams in the AFC worry you? Maybe not even just for the division, but potentially being just good enough to maybe steal a game, cause some problems for the Bills in the hunt for the one seed. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here with you on a Friday on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long!
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.